This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
Clockwork on display at Chambers at 916 Gallery. Stay tuned for Air Cascadia with host Chris Andre.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, January 22nd, 2013, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Shahid Buttar with the Bill of Rights Defense Committee joins us to explore the gulf between what President Obama said yesterday and what people heard. Israeli elections watchers who have their eyes on another Netanyahu win should be looking over their shoulders, because here comes Naftali Bennett. More on Naftali in future programs. I do call your attention to a profile that appeared in a New Yorker magazine. It's alarming, and it should be cause for great concern here in the United States. In Afghanistan, Nuristan to be exact, at least 35, and now get this, militants, including foreign nationals, were killed or wounded in a drone strike late yesterday. We know they were militants because why? Because that's the ones who are dead. First, though, the weather. Increasing clouds today with a high near 44, light northeast winds, and tonight rain is in the offing, possibly mixed with freezing rain later on in the evening, and a low around 32. Late northeast wind, 9 to 14. These light winds could wind up moving along at 22 miles per hour, which is a pretty good clip for a light wind. For tomorrow, rain, possibly mixed with freezing rain, highs near 44. And for tomorrow night, a good chance of showers, overcast skies, lows around 37. Alternative weather, the waxing gibbous root moon in Taurus is 10 days old. The cyanotic forecast, vegetables that produce internal seed-bearing fruits, good idea. Biodynamic, people say that with the moon in Taurus, that's an earth sign, so root plants. And the sidereal advice, with the moon in Taurus, it's a good time to sow root vegetables also from their point of view. Now, whether or not you're out there in the garden with a pickaxe trying to get through the permafrost is not the point here. The point is that we are connected with our own earth in ways that we still don't fully understand through the moon. And a lot of people who grow things are aware of this, and whether or not they are actually physically out there doing farm-type work. Nonetheless, these are some of the forces that guide the directions of their lives. And that's it for the forecast, both conventional and alternative. We have a number of stories from around the region, but the region being part of the greater United States of America, and America yesterday stood up and paid attention. President Obama's inaugural speech was widely broadcast and widely dissected by the punditry at large. We have, fortunately, a voice for clarity and reason and justice. Shahid Buttar with the Bill of Rights Defense Committee is back with us again today. We're going to take a look at the gulf between what President Obama said and what people heard. Good morning, Shahid. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me on, Chris.
Oh, we're so glad to have you back. I could not think of anyone I would rather to talk to about Obama's speech. This was a very difficult thing to do. This is being the second, you know, the inaugural speech for a second term before it's even hatched. People are tearing it apart. They seem to all smell blood in the water and went for it. But what did you hear?
It sounded like the president repeated his pattern of mouthing fidelity to progressive principles while ignoring the litany of ways in which, as a president, his administration has really unfortunately undermined many of those values. And I was glad, quite frankly, to see the president articulate a vision of progressive values in the speech, but it really did strike me as so much hot air given the remarkable entrenchment of the national security state under his first term.
There was not a word on that, and we have questionable attempts to put some sort of regulatory principles to work on our drone program, which I think that people ought to realize is that we all do, in fact, share responsibility for all of this, because if we don't stand up on our hind legs and say no, then we share in the culpability here. Not a word about that. I'd hoped to hear the president say, we are using these drones, we want to save lives, we want to kill bad guys. He didn't even bother. He didn't even trouble himself to address something which is a great concern to people. The moral issues here remain unexplored, and yet yesterday, 38 villagers in Nuristan were killed.
It's much more than just moral issues. I mean, when you think about the Obama administration's approach to national security, I dare say that a great deal more than our morals at stake. I mean, it's not just the vitality of our constitutional rights and whether they mean anything going forward, but we should just be very clear here. The drone strike regime, which President Obama has pioneered, you know, vastly exceeding even the high watermark of the Bush and Cheney administration, have the blood of U.S. service members on their hands. We are fighting conflicts abroad that are perpetuated by senseless policies like this that are not subject to meaningful checks and balances, that operate essentially in secret according to no known law, and quite frankly in the face of quite clear constitutional limits, which have served other presidents quite well. President Obama reportedly is very interested in his legacy, and I think it's very telling that at the moment, despite the rhetoric in his speeches, the presidents with whom he's most closely comparable are not FDR or Abraham Lincoln, but rather Richard Nixon. And if you consider, you know, the drone strike regime in particular, his predecessor, George W. Bush.
Yeah, something that it's well past time for the general public to voice louder. I know many people have written letters, have made phone calls, and we talk to you about this all the time, but not a word about rolling back some of the most repressive, outlandish aspects of the national security apparatus that has been constructed around us seemingly as we sleep. Going forward then into Obama's second term in office, and it's just on one final quick question for you. Any signs of cracks in this incredible surveillance society that we've constructed, or it's constructed around our lives?
I would say that it's bigger than surveillance. Like, if you think about the challenges here, for instance, immigration reform is going to be an opportunity that will be in the federal debate in the first half of this year. And much of the reason why is because the president has actually, on immigration, to some extent, listened to a sustained grassroots clamor, and the immigrant rights movement for years has been mobilizing very assertively across the country. And so it's interesting to see, much like he did on tax policy, the president actually pay some lip service to the ideals, for instance, of the Occupy movement. The challenge here is that the administration seems to acknowledge only grassroots controversies that attract national sustained media attention. And that's a very short list of issues. And even on those issues like immigration, there could very easily be an outcome of this debate that is much worse than the status quo. For instance, if the immigration debate begins with an enforcement-first regime, and that seems to be the paradigm emerging from a debate that is starting on the Hill, that's not a step forward, right? The demands of the immigrant rights movement won't have been met. It will just be an opportunity for the national security state to entrench through legislation bad policy through which the Obama administration has already proven itself to be the most anti-immigrant administration in the history of our country.
And it's a pattern. More people to put it. Shahi, we're out of time, but I want to thank you so much for that. There's more to talk about there, especially this last issue. I'd love to invite you back soon. But we've been speaking with Shahid Buttar. He is the executive director of the Bill of Rights Defense Committee. He spoke in Portland last year. We hope that he'll be back around these parts in the near future. Thanks again for that, Shahid. We want to speak now with Kevin Gaston of Fire Dog Lake. There have been more drone strikes, as we mentioned before. In Nuristan, 38 villagers were killed. We are yet to hear of any sort of formal legal apparatus governing or regulating the drone strikes. Kevin Gostola has written an extraordinary and excellent piece. It's on the Fire Dog Lake website. And we're going to be speaking with him now about this issue. Good morning, Kevin. Thanks so much for being with us.
Good morning.
We're really glad to have you back. I want to any listeners who are going to be in the Bay Area the end of the month, the 29th, I believe, Kevin Gostola, Daniel Ellsberg, and Patricia Ellsberg will be speaking in Berkeley. So if you can get down to those parts, to the Bay Area, it's very, very worthwhile. Kevin, thanks for being with us. You've written that there a lot more since the 20th, 2 days ago. But what I wanted to ask you about is the idea of national security coming up with rules for the deployment of drones. Can you talk to listeners just a bit about how they see this working? The rule book for drones the administration has been developing is reportedly near completion. What's it going to look like?
It's not clear yet. This is completely classified and secretive, and it doesn't look like it's going to be released for you or I to read. But what we do know, based on some reporting by the Washington Post, is that John Brennan had played a key role in developing it. He's the person Obama nominated to be the next CIA chief. Also, we know that the administration agreed to a compromise so that the CIA is exempt and all drone operations in Pakistan are not going to be subject to rules. And so we know those details.
So the rule is that there are no rules, basically.
I think the key question to ask is, and it's not to say that you shouldn't have laws and you shouldn't have rules, but I think a key question people should ask is, what would be the consequence if anyone violated these rules? And what I think is really happening here with the development of the rule book, or the playbook is what they call it, is that they see this push to have some kind of independent judicial review of drones. Human rights, civil liberties organizations calling for this, and what they're deciding to do is, well, we're going to continue to keep this in the control of the White House. We're going to keep this in the control of the executive branch, and we'll come up with our own set of rules, and then we'll tell you what we're doing to follow these rules, and you should just trust us.
So this is just basically part and parcel of the Tuesday targeted assassination meetings, where I guess they throw darts at a map and then throw drones at the dart spots. Thank you so much for that, Kevin. As always, we're short of time. Just to let listeners know, in a limited victory for the defense, David Coombs, Bradley Manning's lead defense attorney, will be allowed to talk about Bradley Manning's motives on two narrow counts, where it could be used to show that he did not know that his leaks would be seen by Al-Qaeda, and his evidence that he consciously selected certain documents. And that is relatively good news. This has been Air Cascadia for Tuesday, January 22nd, 2013. Janet Anderson engineered the show today. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
When the desert sun goes down.
Hi, this is Retta Christie, host of the Noontime Jamboree, and I want to invite you to a live music benefit for KBOO, Once in a Boo Moon, featuring eclectic mix of music performed by KBOO DJs. Included are Henry and Moggy from Swingin' Country, the True Vine Ramblers, Bluegrass from the True Vine, Don McLaren and his fiddlin' friends from Swingin' Country, and me, Retta Christie, playing swing music with my one-night stand band. There will also be delicious desserts and coffee, raffles and silent auction. Support KBOO Saturday, February 23rd at St. David of Wales Episcopal Church, 7 to 10 p.m. Tickets are available through Brown Paper Tickets. You can also find it at kboo.fm/boomoon2013.
I watch that desert sun go down.
This is Pacifica Radio's Letters in Politics. On today's show,
Roosevelt faced severe criticisms from progressives for compromising too much. In fact, the Securities Act of 1934, which we talked about, that instituted the Securities and Exchange Commission, when the final draft went up to Capitol Hill, progressives in the country viewed it as a total giveaway to Wall Street. In fact, the New Republic, which was even more liberal, much more liberal then than it is today, said the stock exchange should greet Roosevelt with gratitude.
Michael Hiltzik is a longtime economic correspondent for the Los Angeles Times. He has just written a new book that chronicles the history of the Depression-era New Deal. It's called The New Deal, A Modern History. We'll be in conversation all about it next on Letters in Politics.